It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Thank you so much.
Feel like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you
know? Let me check out that ring.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock with my guy, as always, Mojo Mutati, as the chain reads. Mojo, we're going to start with the New York Knicks, who took a commanding 3-1 lead over the Philadelphia 76ers thanks to a Game 4 victory in the city of brotherly love. Mojo, the Knicks were led by that guy that you see right there, number 11, Jalen Brunson. He had two bad games to start the series, Mojo. He's had two great ones the last two games, including Game 4, 47 points, Mojo, 10 rebounds. This was a game that the Sixers, in my mind, needed to win. They needed to even things up at 2 apiece. Going back to New York, that did not happen for the Sixers. And Mojo, I think a lot of that had to do with this feeling like it was almost a home game for the New York Knicks. It's almost hard for me to get those words out because Philly is such a great sports town. But Mojo, there was an insane amount of Knicks fans in the building at the Wells Fargo Center. If you don't believe me, your ears, they won't deceive you here. Watch this.
Disappointing. I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of these fans, and they're down the road that never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen.
Yeah, Mojo, it's not like this is some crap organization in a crap sports town, not naming any names. I mean, this is Philadelphia. I am shocked that this happened. Look at all those Knicks fans. Mojo, there is a Wilt Chamberlain statue somewhere in there. The Knicks fans actually put a Knicks jersey on the Wilt Chamberlain statue. I don't know, Mojo. It was shocking to me.
Oh, they got their asses kicked on the court, in the stands, and outside the freaking stadium, man. This was a total Knicks takeover, and this sucks. I mean, here's Embiid calling you out without calling you out, I suppose,
because yeah.
I mean, he prefaced it with not trying to call anyone out, and then he proceeded
and then he called them out.
Call people out nonstop. I mean, hey, I understand the frustration of this, of being a player and watching your fans not show up for you. I mean, it is embarrassing when you are the home team and the away team has more fans than you there. I mean, this has happened to me on both sides of the fence in my career. I mean, I remember playing at Maryland, and if Florida State came to town and they were ranked in the top three, if they have more fans than there, I was pissed off.
Yeah, how does that feel, Mojo? I mean, you've got to feel dejected as a player to know that this is supposed to be your home territory and that you've got other fans who are in the building and overpowering your own supporters.
Yeah, man. It's like, where's the love? I'm breaking my body for you guys,
right?
And y'all aren't here. But for me as a player, it just made me play better. I felt like it pissed me off. It got me in the right state of mind. And I was ready to go out there and stake my claim. I mean, I always kind of loved playing in away games for that reason.
Wow.
Sure. I mean, I remember playing for the Packers, and we played at the Cardinals, and we had more fans in their own stadium for them than them. And for me, I was like, oh, we got this one in the bag. We own this city, you know. And it's kind of a ridiculous feeling, but you got to be able to back it up on the court, right? I mean, who cares who's there in the stands, whether it's home, whether it's away. You got to get it done on the court. That's going to happen sooner or later. I mean, shoot, Detroit Lions fans stood up this year because they were bad for so long and finally had an incredible year. They are going to show up. They are going to fly in and spend their life savings on getting to these games. So, like, that's going to tip the scales from time to time. You just got to be ready for it, and you got to back it up on the court and be able to isolate these two things completely.
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, the Knicks fans, the 76ers fans, there was not going to be any fan that was going to stop Jalen Brunson. If the Sixers wanted to win that game, they had to stop the Knicks star. It didn't happen. I think at the end of the day, yeah, the crowd didn't help, but somebody's got to stop Jalen Brunson if the Sixers want any chance of coming back in this series. All right, Mojo, all seven rounds of the NFL draft are in the books. Let's be honest, though, a lot of fans are still talking about that shocking move made by the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, they gave Kirk Cousins that $180 million contract, and then they drafted quarterback Michael Penix Jr. Well, media is still very much asking questions of the Falcons' leadership, including their new head coach, Raheem Morris, who, Mojo, over the weekend met with the media, and he made a very interesting analogy. Check this out.
It's been difficult having to talk about it for 3 days now. I mean, this was a day one decision bleeding into day three. You even made the joke of, like, we picked a Georgia boy last year.
You know, it's just, I hate for it to be like the story of the draft. I know it will be. That's just how our world is based and is driven. But I can't say it gets annoying. I can't say it's annoying, no, because it's what people want to see is pique more interest. I feel like, you know, what's Kelsey's girlfriend name? I feel like her right now, just based off. I'm Taylor Swift right now, and Terry's Kelsey, I guess. I mean, we're making this thing popular, man. I don't know what that is, man.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
He's tired, guys. He's getting tired. We should probably wrap this up because we're going to a.
We're famous right now. I don't know.
Maybe he is getting tired, Babcock. Bear with me for a second, Coach here. Is making a comparison that he feels so popular
right. That
he feels like a person whose name he doesn't even know.
Although I think he was faking that he didn't know Taylor Swift.
Maybe, bad guy. I don't know, man. But bottom line is they're obviously not sweating. They're obviously having a ton of fun with this. They obviously aren't showing any signs of remorse or regret from making a panic decision. I mean, looking at these two guys in this sit down, I mean, this was absolutely the plan, not part of the plan. This was the whole plan to end up in this situation. And he's right. I mean, this was the most talked about draft move coming out of the draft, you know,
the whole like thing.
That was number one. And this was pick number eight, you know, no one cared about who pick number one was. I mean, this was it. So, I mean, I guess I can understand it. And for a team that's been struggling, there is a lot of value there, right? To be in the talk of the town, to keeping all the eyes on you. That's kind of what you want. People spend a lot of money on various PR campaigns for this kind of thing. So they're right where they want to be. None of us know where that is just yet. We're all very confused. We don't know where it is, but they know, so that's good for them.
You know what, Mojo? And I criticized this heavy earlier or last week. I have sort of changed my mind a little bit because if Michael Penix Jr. ends up being a franchise quarterback, I don't think anyone will talk or care about Kirk Cousins. They'll just talk about them having their guy. But yeah, it's still in the meantime. It's a very puzzling move. And I don't know. Travis and Taylor should send these guys some tickets. Bring them out to a show or something. Coming up on TMZ Sports, AEW headman in charge, Tony Khan, joins us to talk about the most famous neck brace in sports. How is he doing a week after the Young Bucks attack? And what can we expect in their wrestling futures? That's next.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports. I'm your host, Mojo Mutati, and we got a massive one for y'all today. Maybe my biggest yet, because right now we have the founder of AEW Wrestling, Tony Khan, on with us. Tony, how you doing today, brother?
Fantastic, Mojo. Thanks for having me on, man.
No, this is awesome. Thank you for joining us. We've had a ton of your talent on over the years. But I believe this is our first time having you on the show, so this is really cool. First things first, Let's talk about the neck brace. How is your health? How are you feeling?
I'm doing much better. I'm really blessed to be here, Mojo. I feel very fortunate to be able to talk to you after taking a spike pile driver. I'm not a pro wrestler. I've never been through that. And as you know firsthand, it's one of the most deadly moves in wrestling. And I think it was an unprovoked attack. Really very scary situation. But I feel blessed to be here. And bless the Jaguars had a great NFL draft. And bless there's so many great things happening in AEW right now.
We're going to get to all of that in just a second. A pile driver, yes, one of the most dangerous moves in wrestling. Matter of fact, it was on the banned list my entire career, so I never even got to experience one. But here you are, the spike pile driver takes it to the next level. The Elite, the Young Bucks, Jack Perry. What's that going to look like moving forward on AEW?
It's a great question. Well, it's going to lead to some very interesting scenarios. This is the first time I've ever been able to not travel. I'm not cleared to leave Jacksonville right now. We've been here for the NFL draft and AEW this past week. But the spike pile driver, I'm lucky I'm okay, but the doctors have not cleared me to leave Jacksonville. So I'll be running the company remotely from here, doing meetings online, great visits like this with you today on Zoom. And you know, I think it's going to create a very interesting situation at Wednesday Night Dynamite. And it's really exciting. We have the return of Kenny Omega. And to be honest with you, Mojo, for me, it's the perfect time for Kenny Omega to come back to AEW. I know Kenny Omega and I probably have some of the same enemies in AEW right now, as Kenny Omega was fired by Matthew and Nicholas Jackson out of the Elite last month. And they're on quite a run. They've become the World Tag Team Champions, winning the tournament, winning the ladder match at AEW Dynasty, and capped it off by putting me on the shelf with this spike pile driver.
You at the draft, I mean, you were the talk of the town, right? All of the football crowd was talking about Tony Khan and the Jaguars. I feel like you went viral in a few different ways, actually. And you had that interview with NFL Network that certainly made its rounds, talking about the competition and a couple of comparisons. How was the reception after that moving forward?
Well, I think that we got tons of coverage for AEW. And I think it is important to say, I think AEW is the best wrestling company in the world in many ways. I think that we have the best wrestlers, the best matches. We've been putting on the best shows. I think the best pay-per-view events this year have been the two AEW events. And, you know, there's so many great things that have happened in AEW this year. And I'll hold our track record up on anything, whether it's the quality of the shows, the safety, the travel, the hotels, and, you know, everything we do in and out of the ring. I think AEW is the very best.
You got the Jaguars as well, man. You just drafted a ton of new players. We ever going to see some of these guys come over and cross over into the ring back and forth, maybe?
I would love that. I think that's a great thing. I know some of the Jaguars players were very upset about what happened to me. And that's something to keep an eye on, too. I think that the Jaguars players follow AEW really closely. And it's one of those things that's really amazed my dad. You know, he was not a big wrestling fan coming into this, and he's become a fan of AEW, and he really enjoys watching it. He, you know, obviously was at the show last week, as everybody saw when he came out at the end of Dynamite to check on me. And I love having him at the shows. I was, you know, it's unfortunate that's the way he had to come out and make his first appearance on AEW Dynamite, but it meant a lot that he came out to check on me, and it was cool that the fans were so happy to see him. He's one of the biggest names and most important people in professional football. And to me, he's one of the greatest success stories, and he embodies what the American dream's all about, for somebody to come here with basically nothing and build up everything he has from scratch. And I'm very blessed to be a part of it.
Tony, I know you're incredibly busy. Not only do you have a lot going on with AEW, the Jaguars, but you also have a neck injury right now. So thank you so much for spending so much time with us here today. It's been awesome to get to chat with you, my friend.
It's great to see you. You know, I'm just moving stuff across offices here, and I'm embarrassed my bookshelf's empty. So it'll be, I assure you, it'll be filled up with books very soon. Big reader. So it's really nice to have you here. And also just great to see you again. And I just really wanted to compliment you on everything you're doing with TMZ. You've had such an interesting career and such an interesting life to go from the world of football to go to wrestling and be in entertainment. And as somebody who has worked in all three worlds, I have so much respect for you and what you're doing. And it's nice to see you, Mojo.
Tony, you're the man, brother. I really, really, truly appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
Mojo, a terrifying situation over the weekend. Tank Dell, the 24-year-old receiver, young, very promising wide receiver for the Houston Texans, was shot at a bar in Florida. Again, terrifying situation. Thankfully, Tank is going to be okay. He sustained just a minor injury and was actually released from the hospital on Sunday. But again, anytime you've got gunfire, obviously that could be a terrible, terrible situation. We still have probably more questions than answers about just what happened Saturday night. But nonetheless, so we've been told that there was a private party that was going down at a place called Cabana Live. It's a nightclub about 30 miles outside of Orlando. Mojo, I know obviously a place, you know, where you live. There was a 16-year-old kid who was arrested and charged with attempted murder and a bunch of other related crimes. Wasn't just Tank Dell that was hit. There were 10 people, Mojo, in total. So Tank and 9 others who sustained gunshot wounds, all seemingly okay, nothing life-threatening. We've been told that they were mostly lower extremity injuries. But again, when you've got somebody opening fire at a party in a crowded room, this could have been far worse. You still obviously wish Tank Dell the best. He's only in his second year. He had an injury-shortened rookie season, but still caught 47 balls, over 700 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, this kid is a stud receiver, Mojo, and obviously we're very happy that he's going to be okay.
Yeah, big time. I mean, you said it. We're looking at the stats right now for a young player. That's fantastic in the NFL. You know, a lot of players have to grow into putting up numbers like that, waiting for their opportunity for them to grow, but also the incumbent starter to retire or go elsewhere for them to finally get their chance. And I mean, this kid's doing it from the get-go. You hate to see this, Babcock. Yeah. I mean, anytime there's a shooting, that's just a horrible thing. Should never happen. As being someone who lives in Orlando, we've had these from time to time. And even if it's every 2, 3, 5 years, they just always feel like it's entirely too frequently. But this many people being injured, shot, like, this is just terrible. We need to get to the bottom of this and find out what happened and have swift consequences. I mean, we're talking about a 16-year-old that was arrested. I mean, that just makes this whole situation even worse. But, you know, Tank hopefully is okay and is going to go back to the field unscathed. You never know the physical result of a situation like this, let alone the mental one. If this is going to be a situation that he struggles with for years to come, you know, it's just terrible to see. You hate to see when it happens.
Mojo, we are just a couple of months away from that highly anticipated Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight going down July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Mojo, there have been so many rumors about this fight, about the conditions, the terms of the fight. Are they going to be wearing headgear? Is it an exhibition fight? Well, Mojo, today we finally have the answer to all those questions. And I'll be honest, I was really surprised here. The Jake and Mike fight is actually going to be a professional fight. Now, Mike Tyson has not had a professional bout since 2005, Mojo, but that is about to end in 2024 because, again, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul are going to be fighting in a real deal fight. Now, not going to be the traditional 3-minute rounds, Mojo. We're going to be doing 8 rounds of 2 minutes. The guys are going to be wearing 14-ounce gloves. Now, a typical heavyweight fight, you'd probably be wearing 10-ounce gloves. So a little bit bigger of a glove equals a little bit softer of a punch. Jake and Mike both hit incredibly hard. I would not worry that you can't have a knockout because the guys are wearing, you know, big pillows on their hands. A real fight, Mojo. So Jake Paul, there's no, like, nobody is judging this fight. There's going to be a winner. There's going to be a loser. And these guys are really going to fight each other. Bottom line.
Babcock, these new rules are interesting. I mean, 2-minute rounds, that absolutely favors Mike Tyson, who is significantly older than Jake Paul. The heavier gloves, Help out Jake Paul. Mike Tyson's got that punching power. This is doing him a favor. Maybe those things cancel each other out, but either way, the difference maker is this is a pro fight. What's the biggest critique of this fight thus far? That these guys might trade around, play around right out there, you know.
Yep.
Everyone keeps saying if Mike Tyson wanted to put Jake Paul down, he could, but he probably won't because they're buddies and they're going to have fun with it.
Right.
It's an exhibition. It doesn't matter. No mas, Babcock. This is a pro fight. This is going on the record. You think about Tyson's career. I'm not sure he wants to put an L on his record to a YouTuber at this point. So that's going to inspire him into Jake. This is going to make him go the extra distance, too, to get a dub over Mike Tyson. This fight just became a hell of a lot more interesting.
I could not agree more. July 20th cannot come soon enough, Mojo. For the time being, we are out of time. We've got a bunch planned tomorrow. Lots of big stories, Mojo. Gonna be a great show.
Babcock, if I had to break this one down, I think tomorrow will be
what?
The best show since today.